seeing the elephant and hearing the owl. Seeing the elephant and hearing the owl. Have you ever heard of that expression before? It's used by James Michener in his novel Centennial about how the state of Colorado was settled. A young farmer, Levi Zent, and his wife migrate from Pennsylvania out west. And they want to go all the way to California. They run into trouble in the Rocky Mountains, however. And just as they get on the other side of the mountains, where the going finally gets easier, it happens. Levi leaves the campsite one night to check on his oxen, when out of the shadows looms the figure of all things, a great elephant. It looks like some gigantic monster, some 30 or 40 feet tall, with wild curving tusks and glowing eyes. And at the same time, Levi hears the ominous hooting of an owl. And after going through this bizarre experience out in the middle of the wilderness, Levi loses all of his courage and his resolve. And he goes back to the campsite and he tells his wife that they should just go back and settle in Colorado then, rather than trying to get all the way to California. "I saw the elephant and I heard the owl," he said. Seeing the elephant and hearing the owl. It's an expression that refers to some kind of awesome experience you have in life that leaves you shaken to the core of your being and uncertain about the present and the future. These are the experiences in life that frighten you, overwhelm you, turn you upside down, turn you inside out, and even threaten your faith in the Lord. They pump enormous stress into your life at every level. You just can't deal with them in the usual way. So what do you do with them? I was interested to read that every day, we Americans consume 28 tons of aspirins, tranquilizers, sleeping pills. That's how many of us deal with stress. Worship is a verb. It's not something done to us or for us, but by us. And today, the verbal form of worship is the word praise. And here's the question I'd like to ask you and to ask myself. Do you praise God in the midst of stress? Do you praise God in the midst of stress? If you remember nothing else from this message today, I want you to write this principle on your heart, Christian. Praising God is the single best response to crisis or stress. Praising God is the single best response to crisis and stress in your life. Praising God is not a luxury. Worship is not really an option for a follower of the Lord Jesus. Nothing has more practical, down-to-earth benefit in your life and in mine than the regular, the committed, the faithful, the personal giving up of praise to God. And I want you to look with me today at a fascinating story in the Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and you can start to turn there in your Bible, or you can look up the page number in the blue Bible. And as you find that, let me set up the story for you a little bit. The story is about one of the kings of Judah, a man by the name of Jehoshaphat. And he was faced with a very stressful situation. I mean, talk about seeing the elephant and hearing the owl. God's people were faced with extinction and their country with complete ruin. And Jehoshaphat faced a situation in life that produced utter despair initially. So how did he and how did the people of Judah face this crisis? Well, let's read the story together. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and I'm beginning at the first verse in that chapter. Let's listen to God's word today. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Meunites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. And some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is in En-Gedi." Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us.' But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt, so they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Matamiah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. And as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they had finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Barakah, where they praised the Lord. That is why it is called the valley of Barakah to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem, and they went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets. Now, I find some principles in that story that I can apply to your life and to my life. Here's the first one. Praise is a defensive shield. Praise is a defensive shield. What was Jehoshaphat up against? Well, several nations had formed a military alliance. They were poised to attack the people of Judah. They combined armies, creating this huge group. So victory seemed inevitable. And Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah were shaken to the core of their lives. They seemed doomed. And many of you have faced times like that in your own life. And if you haven't yet, you will. You or a family member get a terrible diagnosis at the doctor's office. Or a once secure job that provided a comfortable income comes to an end. Or something happens and you realize your marriage is in serious jeopardy. Or you discover your child has made some very poor choices and you don't know how to help. Or a sudden accident changes your life or the life of the person that you love. And it happens in just a few moments. Whatever it is, life is just never quite the same again after one of these events. And the natural, the human tendency is to become almost paralyzed with fear or discouragement. You feel powerless and out of control. Your heart fills up with despair and defeat. Everything seems lost. You see the elephant and you hear the owl. Ever been there? What can you do? What should you do? Do what the people of God did in the story that we just read. What's that? They begin to praise God. They allow praise to become a defensive shield against this incredible military force arrayed against them. Jehoshaphat gathers the people together in Jerusalem, and they have what amounts to a national day of prayer. And then a prophet named Jahaziel encourages the people not to be afraid and not to be discouraged. Why? Precisely because they were terrified. They were completely undone. And what Jahaziel says that day, you should memorize and tuck away in some corner of your heart and soul. Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. There's a verse to memorize, huh? And as they worship and praise God together, that numbing and paralyzing fear and discouragement begin to lift. And they even find the strength to march out and face this enemy. And as they march, the temple choir goes with them. And they sing a song over and over and over again. Give thanks to the Lord, His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, His faithful love endures forever. Imagine that scene. For the battle is not yours, but God's. That's a promise for every child of God, not just for the people in this story. Life is going to feature some very tough battles as you live it out. And you will at times feel overwhelmed by fear and discouragement, particularly if you face those situations in just your own strength. And there is a lesson in this story. When you set your mind and heart to praise God and thank God and worship God right in the midst of that stressful event, like Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah did, you invite God into the middle of it. And it's no longer just you and whatever problem has entered your life. When you praise God in the midst of enormous stress, you give that problem and that situation and that event to Him. And that's how praising God can become a defensive shield against fear or discouragement just overwhelming your life. Here's another way to think of it. Praise is a defensive shield against self-reliance. Jehoshaphat's prayer underlines that fact. In his prayer, he says this, "O our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help." Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? When you're faced with some great stress or giant crisis? Lord, I don't know what to do, but you know what to do, so I'm looking to you for help. I have a feeling most of us have prayed that way. You know, many people can get so used to working problems out on their own that they have to learn to step back in a moment of great crisis or stress and consciously rely upon God. It just doesn't come naturally for most of us. I believe it's something we have to learn in our walk with God. Begin to ask God for help by praising Him. Acknowledge His presence and His greatness. Your own natural human pride can prevent you from looking to God as your first, your best, and your ultimately only resource in facing many of life's crises. Praise and pride can never exist together. And when you choose deliberately to praise God in the midst of stress, you're making an assumption that human power and human answers are limited and inadequate at best. And when you praise God in the midst of stress, you strike a blow at your own pride and sinful self-reliance. Now, praising God in the midst of stress does not mean, however, denying reality. I mean, look at our story again. Jehoshaphat faced his problem squarely, didn't he? I mean, on the one hand, he didn't run away from it. And on the other hand, he didn't face his enemies in his own strength. Instead, he invited God into this situation. Jehoshaphat didn't downplay the severity or the seriousness of this crisis. He didn't play mind games in an effort to motivate himself, you know, start thinking about it positively or whatever. Instead, he threw himself utterly and absolutely upon the power of God and put his trust there. And that's exactly what you and I need to do when we're faced with those seeing the elephant and hearing the owl experiences in life. Don't cut and run. But don't pretend it isn't there and deny its reality either. And whatever you do, don't stick out your puny little chest and try to face it in your own strength. Call it for what it is. Lay it out there before the Lord. Throw yourself upon His grace and cry out, "Lord, I don't know what to do, but I know You know what to do, and I'm looking to You for help." And when you begin to learn to praise God right in the midst of the stress, not just before it comes or after it leaves, but right smack dab in the middle of it, God will then give you the strength to do what Jahaziel advised the people of Judah to do that day. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Praise is a defensive shield. Now, here's a second principle from our story. Praise is also an offensive weapon. Praise is also an offensive weapon. Praising God isn't just a defense. It has offensive capabilities as well. And when you praise God in the midst of stress, it enables you to focus on God instead of the crisis. It enables you to focus on God instead of yourself. Now, I don't know how all of you react to stress, but my first response typically is to focus on the problem itself, or to focus on whether I have the necessary resources to handle that particular problem that's come into my life. That's a pretty normal human response, right? And when I do that kind of analysis and I get discouraged or become afraid, it's because the problem appears to be so much bigger than me or any resources that I possess. That's what makes it a crisis, right? Now, at that point, if you're like me, I start telling God about my problem and describe to him how I think he should solve it. Now, listen to me. Telling God how to solve your problem is not the same thing as simply praising God in the midst of your problem. Not the same thing. Think about our story. Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah, they don't tell God how to defeat the enemies, do they? They don't say, God, we want you to do this and this and this and this. They never try to instruct God. What do? They simply praise God. They worship God. They thank God. They put simple trust in God. They believe that he will find a way to defeat their enemies, so it isn't necessary for them to tell God what he should do. May I suggest something to you? The next time that you get all agitated and worked up in a time of great crisis or stress, just stop and simply begin to praise God. Sure, by all means, tell him about your problem. Admit your inability to resolve it in your own strength and by your own intelligence. God already knows all of that, but it's helpful to remind yourself of what he already knows only too well. And don't wallow in the problem itself. Don't wring your hands and get heartburn, literally and spiritually, over your inability and your lack of resources. Don't tell God how to fix the problem. Instead, simply begin to praise God right in the midst of that stressful crisis by focusing on who God is and what God has already done. And you find that model right in the story that we read today. Here's how Jehoshaphat begins his prayer. O Lord God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. Now, what is that? Praise. Praise. Jehoshaphat is focusing on who God is. And notice that he doesn't focus his prayer on the enemy army or even his own inadequacies. He reminds himself of God's character and God's greatness. And then Jehoshaphat reminds himself of what God has done in the past. Oh, our God, did you not drive out those who lived in the land where your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? And you and I can do the same thing when we praise God. Remind yourself of all the different ways that God has been faithful to you and blessed you in your past. Has God ever failed you? Has God ever failed you? Oh, there's been failure. You failed yourself. You failed others. Others have failed you. Yes, there's been failure. But God has never failed you. And when you praise God in the midst of stress, you remind yourself of God's incomparable faithfulness. Give thanks to the Lord, for His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. God's people sing and they chant that over and over again as they march toward the enemy. They concentrate on God. Well, what can you and I learn from this example? All genuine praise focuses on God. Praise isn't problem-centered. Praise isn't self-centered. Praise is always God-centered. And just leave the actual solution to God. Let Him figure it out. Refuse to focus on the problem itself or your own inadequacy or your own inability. Your job is simply to praise God, to give thanks to Him, to remember and remind yourself of who God is and what He's done for you. Now, you might ask, but Rick, how can just focusing on God make any difference to what I'm going through? The stress or the crisis that I'm facing? Well, it's then, my friend, that you begin to see your life from God's perspective. Even the crises, even the times of stress. And when you begin to see life from His perspective, it changes everything. What is that problem that you're facing compared to God and His greatness? Is there any crisis or any stretch that is a match for Almighty God? So what if you're inept? We're all inept. Is your inability somehow an obstacle that God has to maneuver around? There's a wonderful story over in the New Testament that illustrates the same principles. You remember Paul when he and his good friend Silas are telling people about Jesus in the Greek city of Philippi? You can read about it in Acts 16 sometime. They end up getting severely beaten and thrown into prison for their efforts. Now, I don't know about you, but that would definitely be a crisis for Rick Bruch. How did Paul and Silas handle that? Well, they begin to pray. And they sing songs and hymns of praise to God. They don't ask God to slay their captors with a mighty sword of judgment. They don't complain to God about how rough it is to serve Him. They don't question why He allows this to happen to them. They don't even ask God to get them out of prison. What do? They simply praise God. And as they worship God and as they praise God, you know the story. God sends this earthquake that releases them from their chains and ultimately frees them from prison. Praise is an offensive weapon because somehow it releases God's power into your life and into the crises that you're facing. Folks, I'm not sure why this is true. I'm not even sure how it's true. What is clear, however, is that God responds with power when you begin to praise and worship Him in the midst of a crisis. And oh, I love this part of the story, verse 22. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise. At the very moment. They began to sing and give praise. What happened? The Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. God simply got these three armies to turn against one another, and they ended up annihilating each other. Go figure. In fact, the army of Judah never has to draw one sword or shoot one arrow. God performs that miracle in response to what? The praise and worship of his people. And I freely admit to you, I don't know how it works, I don't know why it works, but there is an undeniable connection between praising God and spiritual power. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord went into action and the enemy was defeated. Wow. And in closing, would you just observe with me how God's people praised him? First of all, they praise him corporately. And yes, you and I, we're called to have our own personal praise time with God, but it's never intended to replace praising God with other people like we're doing today. And Jehoshaphat is wise to call all the people of Judah together when he faces this great crisis. My friend, when a crisis hits, some followers of Jesus can say, so what if it's Sunday morning? I'm just not going to praise God today. I don't feel like it. My friend, that is the most important time to praise God. Call out the troops, just like Jehoshaphat did. Praise God together. Pray to God together. Second, God's people did what? They praised him continually. I mean, they praised God before he did anything. They praised him during the crisis itself, and they kept on praising the Lord after the enemy is defeated. And so remarkable is all the praise that is offered up to God in that place that the people renamed the location the Valley of Baraka, which means, you know what? The Valley of Praise. So praise God before he provides the answer to your problem. Praise him during the problem itself, and then praise him when he provides the solution. What's the lesson? Learn to praise God continually. And then thirdly, God's people praise him passionately. You know, just observing the posture of God's people in this story reveals that simple fact. What does the story tell us? As they praise God, they all sat comfortably in their padded pews and fought to stay awake. It doesn't say that. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. And then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Boy, I'd love to watch the faces of people walking into this room on a Sunday morning if they saw dozens of people on their faces before God crying out to him in a loud voice. In our story, the praise of God was joyful, it was loud, it was demonstrative, it was noisy, it was emotional, it was passionate. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, the story says, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. Sound like they had a good time, doesn't it? In Fiji, you can get in trouble for singing hymns. Nearly 1 million Methodists live in that South Pacific island country. And every summer, about 20,000 to 50,000 of them gather for an annual conference. And before the conference begins, they have a choral contest. And about 10,000 of these Methodists get together. And you know what they do? They sing hymns. That's it. Hymns. Well, except for last summer, when the Fijian government came to them and said, no choral contest this year. There's a lot of political instability in the country of Fiji. So the government was afraid of any big group of people getting together, not knowing what that might lead to. Church officials said that the government came to them and told them that they couldn't have the conference or the singing contest that year because it might lead to political instability. Just like a bunch of singing Methodists to really threaten the government, huh? But I wonder if that Fijian government maybe, just maybe, was onto something. There is something revolutionary and subversive when Christians get together to worship God. Worshiping God in Christ changes and alters and brings down world systems. We're reminded today that praising God defeats armies. In the book of Acts, praising God takes you out of chains and brings you out of jail. And when you and I begin to praise God, somehow His power gets released into our problems, great or small. Praise is subversive and revolutionary because it reveals another kingdom. A kingdom that will have no end and that will exist forever. Seeing the elephant and hearing the owl. You and I are going to have moments like that in our lives when we get shaken to the core of our being. Or we're going to have those times when accumulated stress that we've lived with for months and years just leaves us totally exhausted and defeated. And we need to learn something from God's people and God's word. Give the battle to the Lord. Keep your eyes on Him. Invite God into the midst of that problem and that stress by praising Him and thanking Him and worshiping Him. Praise is a defensive shield. Praise is an offensive weapon. Use it for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father God, your word has so many rich and wonderful stories for us. And we thank you for this story of Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah who at least once in the Bible got it right. They did the right thing here. And they've provided a wonderful lesson to us about what we need to do when we are faced with one of those great crises or stresses in our lives. We need to praise you and worship you and thank you and bless your name. Lord, at one level, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And yet, as we begin to do that, we realize that we release your power into that situation, that problem, that crisis. Father, I know that in a group of the size that we have today, that there are probably many people that are right in the middle of one of those situations where they're seeing the elephant and hearing the owl. They feel overwhelmed. They don't know what to do. And Father, I thank you that each one of them is here today. They've done the right thing. And Lord, as we close our service, I pray that many of them will lift their hearts to you with renewed praise and worship, and that all of us together might find a new release of your power into our lives, our problems, our situations. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.